Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, beginning at verse 7. We all need God. We all need God. And in, as we look at this reading, especially Moses, with the task that God had asked him to come and perform to lead the Israelites out of captivity, he was so very, very reliant on God, and as we all are. And he asked to see God's presence, and God promises his presence to Moses. As we understand this reading that's going to be brought to us this morning, before the tabernacle was built, as they were moving out of Egypt and into the wilderness, Moses would meet with God in his own tent outside the camp. So Moses set his tent up outside the camp, and there he would meet with God, and God would instruct him of what to do. And so he was away from the congregation. And when he went into his tent, all the people would stand outside and wait to see what God would instruct Moses to do next. In verses 12 to 17 of our reading this morning, Moses was the spokesman and the intercessor for the people before God. So he had a tremendous responsibility. Moses also clearly understood that without God's presence, they would not be a people set apart from the heathen nations that surrounded them. Without the presence of God, they would be like the heathens and the pagans around them. They needed his presence, just as we do today. God reassures Moses that he is with him and with them. Thank you, Jeff. So this reading explains a little of what we have before us today. And God promises to reveal himself to Moses.
Page 129, chapter 33, Exodus. Verses 7 to 23. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of a tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I might, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. So Moses wanted to see the glory of God, don't we all? But no man can see God face to face and live. His glory and his holiness is too great. And so what he saw of God was transformed into blazing light. And we in the flesh cannot even look upon the glory of God. And what is more, we are sinners in the flesh. God is pure and holy. But those who lived in Jesus' day met with Jesus and saw him face to face as God in the flesh. Such is the grace of God. Such is the grace of God. And now, without any further ado, could you please turn into the New Testament to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. And here we have a profile of Jesus and his glory. Last week we started at chapter 3, and I might start there again today. We're going through to verse 6, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, who are we speaking to? Brothers in the Lord. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house, as Jeff has shared with us. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Jesus has been counted as more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house, has more honour than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as the Son, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. What a profound verse that is, that last verse. But Christ as son over his own house, son over his own church. We are the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. How do we get that hope? By reading God's word and the instruction we have, the guidance through the work of the Holy Spirit. So the word house here is, through these verses, is used six times, referring to the people of God, not a material building. We're referring to the people of God as God's house. And here we again have the contrast between Moses and Christ. Last week it was Moses and Christ. All through most of the book of Hebrews so far, we've been comparing the Godhead and Christ with man and with Moses. Moses was called by God as a servant in the house, the household of God, while Jesus Christ is a son over this house. Moses was a member of the household of God, but Jesus built the house, proving he is God. If God built all things and Jesus Christ built God's house, then Jesus must be God and Moses part of the house. And as we think about this, we see here as Moses come down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, Moses spoke about things to come. He spoke about things to come. But Jesus Christ brought fulfillment of these things in John 14, 1-6, where Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, "You believe in God, you trust in God, trust also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go," Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me where I am." And in that reading, Thomas says, "But Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And then Jesus said those famous words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus has gone to prepare our everlasting house in heaven, a mansion. And he's coming to take us to be with him. In verse 6, "Whose house we are, whose house we are." The true house, the true house. As true believers, with the indwelling Holy Spirit, which is the seal of God. For through his Spirit, God dwells with his people. For through the Spirit, God dwells with his people. In Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, we read there that we, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church here in Ephesians 1, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So as we believe and trust in Christ, put our faith in him, we should be to the praise of his glory. Our earthly walk should bring praise to God. Praise to God. We are the shining light on this earth for all the world to see. Verse 13, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed." What an important word. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has given us the Holy Spirit. Given us the Holy Spirit as a seal to guide us, to encourage us, to give us understanding of all the mysteries of God that so many in the world today have got no idea, no idea. In Christ we are built together for a habitation of God. We're built together for a habitation of God. We know that God is spirit. And God will come into us in the form of a spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. And this includes the entire Godhead. And so now we begin to see more fully how great our salvation is. The working of God, in not only in drawing us out of the darkness of sin into the light of the gospel, but indwelling in us, making his habitation within us. So to guide us and give us the understanding that we need and the surety. "I have gone to prepare a place for you," Jesus said. We have a promise. Jesus said, "I have gone to do this for you." For you. This This is true of the individual soul, each one of us personally, and collectively as a church. Collectively as a church. Individual believing souls make up the body of the believing church. And the church is well known as the bride of Christ. His crown in glory, the bride of Christ. In John 14:23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, the entire Godhead, we will come to him and make our home with him. Even as Christians, some days we have a down day, don't we? We feel lousy, things are not going right. We might get quite depressed. We might feel like we're going into a dark place. And this is the beauty of our salvation, in knowing and never forgetting that we carry about the Godhead within us. And we have all the promises. No matter what man or circumstances on this earth can do to us, we are safe. We are safe in the hands of God. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. The whole of the Bible is about the sins of man and the coming Son of God to draw us out of the darkness of sin into the gloriousness of everlasting life in the presence of our Creator, God. What a wonderful work God has done in the salvation of our souls. We need to focus on this and plant the seeds of the truth of this passage of Scripture in our hearts forever, that we have the confidence in Christ. And the darkest of days, when the most terrible things are happening around us and to us, remember Christ, who has gone to prepare a place for us. This is the characteristic of the household of God, the spiritual body, that each part makes up the living whole. Each part makes up the living whole. We, as individuals, make up the whole of the church. The whole of the believing church worldwide will make up the household of God. That both collectively, the church, and individually, each person, we are Christ's house. We are Christ's house. That the true believer would know the faithfulness of Christ in his house, in our being, and so yield himself to be part of God's house. God's house. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 12, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth here, and he says, But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's how different, that's how separate our walk is from the world of darkness today. Eye has not seen. I talked this morning earlier about what man has achieved on this earth. The great mechanical things we make, the skyscrapers, the buildings, going into outer space, going into the depths of the sea, the great medical things that we have discovered to sustain life. And through all of this, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Jesus said, I've prepared a mansion for you. A mansion. Which one of us is living in a mansion here today? A mansion for you. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. That's why God has given us his spirit when we trusted in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross by faith. We have the spirit of God, who the spirit working in conjunction with the studying of the word of God has revealed all the glorious mysteries of God, which the world, David Attenborough and Dawkins and all the rest, have got no idea. Their minds have closed. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What a blessing. What a blessing. And so this is to allow Christ to be master over his house and to be Lord of our life. To be Lord of our life. That Christ alone would have the keys of our heart, and that Christ would hold undisturbed possession and rule of our life. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Whose house we are. Whose house we are. Jesus Christ has opened the way into the holiest of God's dwelling. The holy dwelling is not only with God that we must enter into it. This holy dwelling is not only with God that we must enter into it. The holy dwelling is also with us. It's with us, that God would come into us. Remember the picture we saw when we heard that reading this morning, when Moses went into his tent, which was called the tabernacle. And what do we call the temple of God? Moses would go in, and the cloud would come down and rest upon the house. The Spirit of God would come down and God would speak with Moses. This is the privilege that we have through Jesus Christ today, that God would come into us. Can you imagine? God's heart is our habitation, and our heart is God's habitation. John 15:4, the Gospel of John. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul goes on and says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God is dwelling in us. And none of us would want to shame the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. It is a mutual relationship. This is how dear we are to God. This is a mutual relationship. The more we are his, the more he is ours. We must yield ourselves to him as his house and trust his faithfulness to do his work, just as Jesus is faithful to him who appointed him as a son over his house, to purchase our salvation. This is the work of Christ, sent from heaven 2,000 years ago to purchase our salvation with his own blood. Faithful to him who appointed him. Jesus was faithful to him who appointed him. Just as Moses, we've been talking about, was faithful to God in his work in leading the people out of Egypt. the mark of being of his household, just as Moses the servant, as with Christ the Son. And so also with us, that may we in our daily walk today be faithful to God. He must be master of his own house, whose house we are. He's not just an honoured guest. That's when we think Jesus might be coming, we run around and clean the house up and put away anything that might disturb the conscience of Christ. We are his house. We are his house. And when he judges people, he judges from the heart. He doesn't judge as other people in the world judge. He judges from the heart. He judges us from the inside out. He's not just an honoured guest while we hold the keys and the care. No, we must give him the keys and give him entire control over our whole being as son over his house. And he will prove how faithful he is to God and to you and to myself, to each and every one of us. He has more glory than Moses. This is what this passage of Scripture is explaining. We're looking at the profile of Jesus Christ, and we have been for weeks. As we consider his faithfulness, it helps us with our faith. If we hold fast the confidence. Confidence here means freedom of speech and openness. Our faith and our trust in him is our confidence. When you are free to speak, then there is no fear, and you have confidence like boldness. In Hebrews 4:16, we haven't got there yet, where we read there, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Those who have trusted Christ prove his confession by their steadfastness, their confidence, and their joyful hope. They are not burdened by the past or threatened by the present, but are living in the future as they await the blessed hope of their Lord's return for their heavenly calling. And this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, enacting into our lives and the decisions and the words and the actions that we take every day, making us fit for heaven, making us fit for heaven. And I want to close with a reading from Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and it's a famous passage of Scripture again. I'll start at verse 18. Where Jesus said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes. This is what Christ has done for us, as he's brought us out of the darkness of sin. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. This is the call of God. Be zealous and repent. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What a wonderful promise for those who overcome, those who hold their confidence to the end. That's all we're asked for. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Amen.